We continue tonight to look at this wonderful Gospel of John. The Gospel record which quite unashamedly John says was written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have life in his name. And we saw from that first chapter that it's all about the one who is the eternal God, the Word, with a capital W, who was with God in the beginning and was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And then we read in verse 14, the Word was made flesh, speaking of when the eternal God became a baby in the manger at Bethlehem. And then we heard last week about the ministry of John the Baptist, one of those early witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the things that he said concerning the Saviour, but especially this phrase with which we begin this evening, that he looked upon Jesus in verse 36 as he walked, and he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And tonight we're going to think about those early converts, people who, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was about 29 years old, came to believe in him and trust in him and follow him. These who heard these words, we read in verse 35, were two of John's disciples, two of the followers of John the Baptist. And the order of things seems to be that these followed John the Baptist, and when John the Baptist turned their attention away from himself and pointed to the Son of God and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," they determined they would follow, and they went and they spoke to him. And it was a little while later that Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John also, were at the lakeside, not the shopping centre, but the very Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and were there mending their nets. And Jesus came, and it was time. He said, "Follow me, leave your nets and follow me." And that was when they really determined to follow Jesus. They were persuaded after John said, "Behold the Lamb of God," and when they spoke to Jesus. But it took that day, which John doesn't record, but the other gospel writers do, when Jesus came to the seaside and called them. And they already had heard Jesus, but they left their nets and followed him and gave their lives to him. And from that day forth became fishers of men, not fishers of fish. So here are these two men, and the first thing we understand is that these two disciples heard. In verse 37, they heard. They heard him speak, and that is so significant, because the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I remember it was quite popular in my Christian childhood, which was way into the last century, that people thought you could act the gospel, and you could have somebody playing Jesus, somebody playing Mary, and you would act it out and people would be converted. And I remember one brother saying very determinedly, "Faith comes by hearing, not by seeing, by hearing." And that's true. You need to hear the gospel. You can hear it when you read it, you can hear it in your heart. Sometimes when I read the words of a great preacher, I can almost hear his voice. I don't know what his voice sounded like, but I imagine what it sounded like. So it's the same thing. It's by hearing. It's by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what advice would you give a seeker, somebody that comes to you and says, "You know, that this COVID-19 and this dreadful thing has made me think I need to seek the Lord, and I need to find how I can get right with God." What's your advice to them? Well, you might advise them to read the Bible. That's a very good thing. Start reading the Bible. Start praying. Just speak to the Lord. He only hears the prayers of Christians and the person that is urgently seeking to find him. The sinner's prayer. Ask questions of Christians that you know. Read seekers type books, the leaflets you find at the back of our church. No, but the main thing you would say to them is, come and hear the gospel. Hear it preached. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, it's through the foolishness, as the world sees it, of preaching that God saves most people. It's hearing God's word explained, preached, and the persuasiveness, not in a psychological way, but through the Holy Spirit, touching the hearts of people. So these disciples heard, but what did they hear? Well, they heard these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and we thought about that last week. He's the Lamb who was slain in our place. He takes away our sin by taking the guilt of it. And the way to become a Christian is to behold him, to look and see the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by hearing the preaching of the word that our eyes are turned towards the Saviour. And we read, they heard and they followed. But then there's the most encouraging verse, verse 37. We read that Jesus, when they followed Jesus, or verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following. And that's still the same today. Seeking the Lord is not some relentless task, a pursuit of a Saviour who begrudges his grace. When you seek him, he turns to you. And he'll draw near to you. And he'll start to put questions in your heart. And he'll start to give answers to those questions. He turns to you. The Bible says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. You know, even Saul of Tarsus, you know the story of the conversion of Saul? Well, you'd say he wasn't really seeking God when the Lord found him. But what does the Lord say to him? He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then Jesus said something quite curious to him. He said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks of your conscience. Saul had heard Stephen, the Stephen who was the martyr, stoned to death for his faith, and he'd seen him, and he'd seen the faith written in his face, and Saul was holding the clothes for the people that were stoning him, and it played upon his conscience and his heart, and he persecuted all the more to try to silence what God was saying to him. The Lord turned to him, and he began to feel in his heart that he should really be seeking the Lord. And it was on that day, on the road to Damascus, that he was finally convinced. Jesus turned, and that is a marvellous thing. Verses 38, 39, though, we read, Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? And here is a marvellous transition. Jesus says, what is it that you want? What is this thing? What is the answer to your life? And they effectively said, it's not what, it's who. They said unto him, Rabbi, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? They were led by faith to see, or by grace to see, that it was this person they needed. And that's a major step, isn't it, in seeking the Lord. It's when you realise it's not seeking some great power to overcome my sin. It's not seeking some experience or fulfillment. It's seeking a person. It's seeking the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's a person you need. It's the person of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will save you from all your sins. And so they asked, where do you dwell? The true seeker isn't found in the dance hall or the disco, the wine bar or the nightclub, but where Christ is to be found. That's where you'll be when you seek the Lord. And Jesus said, come and see. He said to them, here, you can experience this. You don't need to just have the words written for you. Come and see where you find me. And they went with him, and that must have been a blessed few hours that they spent with him, learning. They came closer, they stayed with him, we read. Oh, what blessed hours they spent. Verse 39, they came and they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now one of the two which heard him speak was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he's one of those two fishermen. He first went and found his brother Simon. There is a sign that a person has found the Lord. He's concerned about his brother or his sister. He's concerned about that member of his family or that close friend, and he wants to see them come to the Saviour. If ever you find someone that says, yes, I've found the Saviour, well, why don't you tell your friend, oh, I don't want to admit that I'm a Christian, to them? You'd have to say, are you really a Christian? Who do you love? them or the Lord? And don't you love them and want them to come to the Lord? You'll be concerned about those in your own family. And then we read about salvation. Be assured, verse 41, he first finds his own brother Simon. We found him. We have found the Messiah. He doesn't say, you know, we found this man, and he says all the right things, and you know, John the Baptist said he was a really good chap, and we're beginning to think that maybe this Jesus has got something that, well, it might help us to understand the truth. No, with full assurance, Andrew says to Peter, he says, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ, the promised one. And he brought him to Jesus. You know, many years ago, again, deep in the last century, there used to be a method, and many people subscribed to it, and it was a healthy method. It was called Operation Andrew. And many people subscribed to Operation Andrew. They took the cards and they wrote down somebody that they would go and find, a brother, a friend, and they concentrated, prayed for that person until they brought them to the Saviour. And it could be said, as he brought him to Jesus, that many people were brought to Jesus through the prayers and the efforts of dear friends. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. That's a marvellous day when you come and you're trying to find the Lord and know him, and you realise he knows you a lot better than you know him. He knows you better than you know yourself. And you read his words and you say, well, how do you know me so well? How do you know what I'm like? How do you know the doubts I have, the fears I have, what I'm a little bit scared about? How do you know these things? How do you know that the Lord knows you? And Jesus also knows what you will be, because Peter was nothing of a stone or a rock at that time, but he says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. It's not a giant stone. It's not the rock of ages, which becomes a pope. It's a small stone, a stone which is enough of strength to be of use in the kingdom of God. So that's the conversion of Simon and Andrew. Quite simple and quite deliberate, and you can detect what's happening. But next day, verse 43, Jesus wanted to go into Galilee, and he found Philip, and he saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the same city as Andrew and Peter. So it might be that Philip had been out and had seen Jesus and heard the same words. But Jesus said to Philip, follow me. And Philip knew he had to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean that he was converted? Does it mean he had faith? Well, we read the first thing is in verse 45, Philip went and found Nathanael, a friend, I presume. It doesn't say that he was related to him. And he said unto him, we have found him. He's quite certain. Oh, this is the Saviour. You only have to listen to his words. You only have to see the effect he's had on Simon, Peter and Andrew. You only have to see. And the love in his face. You only have to hear the way that he shows himself to be the one promised in the Bible. And he's certain. Philip is certain. And he found Nathanael and said unto him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. He's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And in any good story, the next line would be, and Nathanael said, well, I'm so happy we found him and I'll come and follow him. But Nathanael is a skeptic. He says, Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was the place of thieves. It was the place of vagabonds. It was a place of very bad reputation. Yet Jesus and his family chose for him to be brought up in Nazareth. The chief place of sinners was the place where the saviour of sinners went to live. And in Nazareth, because the Old Testament said he shall be a Nazarene, well, that's where Jesus was to be found. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's sceptical, is Nathanael. But Philip says, come and see. It's the one thing people won't do, isn't it? When you say to people, I found the Saviour, I know the Lord, and you can find him too. And they say, well, that little grotty church in Neville Road, where their windows break every other day, and they hardly anybody goes there. Why? Can any good thing come out of Neville Road? And people won't come and see. They won't come. If you could get everybody you spoke to come and see, and just say, come, hear the word of God for 6 weeks. See what effect it has on you. Why, you know, we would see great things. But men and women won't do that. They don't want to come and see because they don't want to come and be seen. And they don't want to be seen by other men and women as going to a church, particularly a small church without saints and stained glass windows and a massive cross outside. You get away with it with one of those, but to be seen going to a church where the gospel is preached, no, we don't want to do that. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, because Nathanael did come and see. He said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, no dishonesty. Nathanael, for all that he was sceptical, he was honest. He was straightforward. He wasn't going to immediately pretend, oh yes, that's great, yes, I'll be a Christian. No, he wanted to be sure, so he did come and see. He was being honest. And Jesus says to him, you're an Israelite indeed, not a pretend Israelite. You're a real Jew, as we were saying this morning, somebody that really wants to know the truth. And so Nathanael said, well, where do you know me from? And Jesus said, oh, I knew you. I saw you when Philip called you under the fig tree. Well, Jesus was miles away when Philip spoke to him under the fig tree. And Nathanael is immediately impressed. He realizes that Jesus does know him. He does know all about him. He was more persuaded, perhaps, by what Philip had said to him. And when Philip told him how Andrew and Peter had been converted. But now, the first thing Jesus says to him is, I saw you when you were under the fig tree, when Philip first spoke to you. Nathanael then comes out with the great statement. He says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And we can imagine Jesus smiling and saying, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, is that why you believe? Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than these. And then he gives him a disclosure which years later he would understand. He said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And you might think, well, when did anybody ever see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? Well, the first clue is that ascending and descending upon the Son of Man doesn't mean coming down, up and down upon Jesus' head. What it means is ascending and descending on a ladder, on the Son of Man. He is the ladder. And the time in the Bible where heaven was opened for one of the great progenitors of the Jewish faith was when Jacob, when he ran away because he had deceived his brother Esau. And he went and he found a place to lie down, and he had a stone for his pillow, and he lay down, and in his sleep he saw heaven opened and a great ladder set up upon the earth, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. And whether immediately he thought of it or whether later, he would have read that passage in Genesis and he'd have said, that's what Jesus was speaking about. Access to heaven. That's what you're going to see, Nathanael. You're going to see not angels but men and women ascending to heaven. You're going to see the way made open, the ladder that Jacob saw had its feet upon the earth because Jesus was human, and its top was in heaven because he was the Son of God. Jacob's ladder is what he's speaking about here. And Jacob's ladder is a marvelous picture for us, because there is a way for us to go to heaven. There is a way for us to enter into that state of being right with God, of knowing the coming and going of Christ in our hearts, his access to us, our access to him, and it's through the Lord Jesus himself. He is the one that we come to, and he brings us to the Father. We come to the Father through Jesus the Son. We give him the glory, great things he has done. Well, there, just at the end of that chapter, we've seen four people at least, converted, brought to faith in Christ, What was it that led them? Well, it was that simple statement of John. Behold, the Lamb of God. Have you beheld the Lamb of God? Have you seen him? Have you seen him as the one who takes your sins away? Have you cast your soul upon him? Have you trusted him? Do you know him as your real and personal Saviour? Let's sing our closing hymn.